Morning. Go ahead and grab your outlines out of your Bible. Let's turn our out of your bulletin. Let's turn our Bibles to chapter 2 of Romans as we continue our study of Romans. We're going to be in Romans for a while, but we're continuing our study as we walk through the first few chapters. So turn your Bibles to Romans 2. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 this morning. Grab your outline. I got something, a couple of things I want to say before we get there. Anyone a little thicker from Thanksgiving? No, here, here. I like that. Yeah, here, here. Did you hear the new law in California? Did you guys hear about the new law in California? It's a great law. You guys would be excited about it. You know the law that daylight savings where you turn your clocks back for 1 hour? They made one like that about Thanksgiving weekend. So all of us are to turn our weight scales back 10 pounds on Thanksgiving weekend. It's new law. I lost 5 pounds this Thanksgiving. This is something right in California for one time. I don't know. Anyway, so we're looking at Romans chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the first five verses in here. Let me remind you, there's an insert in your bulletin. It's going to be on the end of each month. It says, if you have any questions now, chapters 1 and 2 of Romans, submit them to in the offering box. Something that I missed, something that I shared that was confusing, some questions that you might have, whatever that might be, so go ahead and submit your questions to the offering box. My desire is for us to grow together. I want to be teachable. I want to be helpful as we will have questions from what did that say? Did that mean this? Anything like that? My desire is for us to grow together. I've received some questions so far from chapter 1. I've answered them. There was one that I couldn't answer. There wasn't anybody's name on it, but that's okay. If you just want to submit a question to me for me to answer in my own heart, or maybe I didn't clearly teach that, I'm good with that also, but I'm willing to talk about anything that you might have a question as we go through Romans 1 and now 2. That's why we're kind of moving along chapters. I don't want to get a question from Romans chapter 14 this week. You know, let's just kind of go as we go along. Now, as we come to Romans 2, let me remind you where we've been. Go ahead and look at your Bibles there, Romans 2, chapter 2. We're going to be looking at 1 through 5, and in your outline there, let me remind you and set the context. In Romans 1, 18 through 32, one of Paul's main goals is for us to recognize, to see God's hatred of sin, and that God is just, is righteous in revealing his wrath against sin. That's what we're learning here. That's what we're growing in. That's God's goal. For us, that's what Paul is wanting to teach us, for us to recognize that God is revealing his wrath from heaven against sin, because he hates sin. And he wants us to recognize that God is against that, and he's righteous and just in bringing judgment against that. I summarized what we learned in 1:18 through 32 in your outline. Let's look at it with me. Here's what Paul just said. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. It's God's righteous wrath because that which is known about God is evident within them. It's evident in all humanity. All God has made it evident to them. For God, so they were without excuse in man's rejection of God. He rationalizes God away and makes up his own religion. And the result is that God's righteous judgment gives over sinful man to his own depravity. That's what we looked at last week. We wanted to move along in that because it's a difficult passage and serious, and we see that in life. But we recognize that, right? Help me, church. We see that in life. God is revealing his wrath from heaven in that people are rejecting God, rationalizing, coming up with their own religion, and then God's giving them over to their own depravity. It's happening in our world. It's been going on since God has had creation here in some way, some form, some manner. It's from heaven, so God is the one that decides and disseminates on who, what, where, and why. That's his decision on all of that, but God wants us to recognize that it's going on. Church, body of Christ, church family, young people, middle-aged people, old people, all of us, God wants us to recognize it's happening in the world. Because God's hatred of sin is real, and his wrath against it is real. It's a reality. And we're learning this so we understand the righteousness of God. That's what Paul is wanting us to understand, is God's righteousness of him and from him. So that's the summary of what we've been looking at. That's the principle of God's judgment, that in man's sinful rejection of God, God has given man over to depravity. We see it, we looked at it, but Paul's not done. You know, we've talked about this many times. He goes to every nook and cranny for anybody in their heart and mind to think in some way that God's judgment of their sin isn't going to happen because God has a different kind of standard, whatever it might be. But he reaches into everybody in the earth and everybody where they stand. And so Paul's not done with the principles of God's judgment. And he goes all the way, he's going to continually teach on this all the way to chapter 3, verse 20. And in your outline, this is what we're going to go through the next 4 weeks. We are going to see Paul teach on God's principles of judgment. Today, we're going to look at God's judgment as according to the truth. That's what we're going to see today. That's what we're going to look at in God's Word. Next week, God's judgment is according to man's deeds. We'll get into that, rightly so. 2 weeks from now, God's judgment is according to the gospel of Christ. I'm glad we're starting to pull in the gospel of Christ into it. And then the last message in this series, Romans 3, 1 through 20, according to God's judgment, all the world is guilty. These are the principles of God's judgment. All the world is guilty. It's according to the gospel of Christ. He can judge accordingly to what man does. He judges according to the truth, and he can judges according to man's rejection. That's what we looked at last week, and that's what we're going to be learning. That's what we're going to be going through. That's what Romans is, and God wants us to understand that and know that, and so we understand the righteousness of God. It's kind of hard, difficult, but we will not clearly see God's righteousness and the righteousness from him unless we understand all of this, and that's why Paul is teaching it. Now, I want to do something. You guys with me? I want to do something. We are in the Christmas season. Yes, Advent is next week. We're going to be doing a Christmas series, the questions about Christmas for next week, Sunday school class. We'll be singing about the birth of Christ. We'll be celebrating about the birth of Christ. Advent series, Advent candle, all that's coming up. 4 weeks from today is Christmas Eve service. So our focus is going to be on the birth of Christ. And what I want to do, I want to contrast the birth of Christ with the principles of God's judgment. I want us to look at it that way in our heart and mind. It's a good way to look at it. In our minds, I want us to ask the question, it's in your outline, why is the birth of Christ good news? Why is it good news? It's good news because of God's judgment. That's why it's good news. If it wasn't for God's judgment upon the world and what it is, it wouldn't even be good news. Because the bad news is God's going to judge everything. So the good news is based upon God's principles of judgment. That's just the truth. Luke 2:10 says, the angel of the Lord said about the birth of Christ, behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. It's a common focus of the year. So why is it good news? Because the principles of God's judgment. Are you with me? Help me, you guys. Are you with me? You know, so we're gonna contrast that, juxtapose it in that kind of thing. We're gonna ask each week. So why is the coming of Christ good news? Yes, Emmanuel with us. We could focus on that in the Word of God. We could think of that God is with us and he came and he was born and all of that. The depth, the truth, the main thing is he came to die, didn't he? We want to celebrate the birth of Christ. We want to acknowledge him and how wonderful Christmas is. But Christ came to be his life, to give his life as a ransom for the many, and we're the many. And so we're going to look at it in that way. We'll celebrate and rejoice and sing the songs through Christmas, even looking at Isaiah in the Advent series of all of that grace, mercy of God. But the truth of the good news is because of the depth of God's judgment, or his principles of judgment on sin. So that's what we're going to do. Today, it's according to the truth. Look at it with me, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 of Romans. Going to move along here. Look what he says. Paul writes this. Here we are. We're looking at the first thing. Turn your outline over. Why is the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, good news? Because God's judgment is according to the truth. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, Paul wrote, therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, or the revealing of the righteous judgment of God. Now, as we begin there, the first word there is therefore, so it pushes us back. We have to understand context when we're reading God's word, understanding God's word. When there's a therefore, we have to understand the context that went before. He said something, and then he says, therefore, so then. Those kind of things pushes us back, that we have to understand what he just said. It refers to what we taught last week. For you to understand what he's saying this week, you have to understand what we went through last week. You have to. It's therefore. If you take it out of the therefore and just say, okay, what is he saying here, you'll miss the context. So we have to understand. This is the first principle. Therefore refers back, for the wrath of God is being revealed. It's being revealed against all unrighteousness of men. It's being revealed because what's noble about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them, so they are without excuse. Therefore, and look at the text, what does he say? Therefore, you that pass judgment on them, on all those pagan people, of all those people that we looked at last week, that God has given over to the lust of the flesh, to the principles, to the impurity, to the depraved mind, to all those that we looked at, and we looked at what God is doing, is judging in the world, seeing all of that. Therefore, you that pass judgment on them, you condemn them, you condemn yourself, because you're the same way. Isn't that what he says? Come on, you guys, help me. See, God judges according to the truth. He doesn't judge according to good and bad. Some better, some less. See, it's important in the church, in the body of Christ, for us to understand this, for us to teach our kids this, for us to teach the people around us this, for us to promote this. This isn't about good, bad people. This isn't about, well, yes, look at those people. We could read back there, they're being filled with unrighteousness, wicked, greed, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful. Okay, but you who, every one of you who pass judgment on them, he's talking about people that think they're good. Okay, look at me, you guys. He's talking about people in this world, in their own evaluation of their self, thinking they're better than somebody else. Any of us struggle with that one? Come on, guys. Come on, we struggle with that one, don't we? Why are they so bad? Why are they so evil? Why do they do all these things? I don't understand, but I'm not like that. Paul gets right in there. Hey, God's wrath is being revealed against people that think they're better than others. In this world, that's what he wants us to understand and know. He never wants the body of Christ, the church family, to ever have an arrogance, an attitude in our life because of God's grace and mercy that saved us, that we don't have depravity in our life, that somehow we are better than others. And that we judge others in that accordingly, that we condemn them. We say, wow, you know, look at God's just, wow, they're just gone. So am I, apart from Christ, so are you. And this is what Paul is wanting us to get to. I'm going to just kind of get to the crux of this because it's just pretty plain and right out there. And that's what he says. Look what he says. Therefore, you who pass judgment. Who's the you? He's talking about Jews in the text. In their judgment of themselves is that they are morally upright. They're better than that. And they probably were on the outside. They have the oracles of God. That belongs to the covenants of the promise, the giving of the law, the temple services. So what we want to look at is what God is saying in the word of God here and teaching is, you that are moralists, that you think that you're good people, you pass judgment on those lost in depravity. I'm good, they're bad. Look what he says in verse 1 again. Every one of you who pass judgment, for in that you which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. First response, no, I don't. I don't live what 28 through 32 is. I don't live that. But see, God doesn't judge according to how bad 28 through 32 is. He judges according to how short we fall of the glory of God. That's what he judges in. We could look at that. It's like Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Anybody remember what 7, 1 through 5 says? When you see your brother sing that kind of thing and you recognize them, you want to go help them, it says, do what? Anybody remember what Jesus taught? First, get the log out of your own eye. Our natural tendency is, you know, I'm not picking on you, on you, Leanna, but I have an easier tendency seeing your sin than my own, right? And then I get condemning and judgmental, and I look at that, and then if I'm ever going to help you with anything that you're struggling with, I got to get this log out of my own eye, because it's really not letting me see anything clearly. I got to get it out first, right? Isn't that what the Word of God says? How about the story in 2 Samuel with David and Nathan? You guys remember that story? This is what God is talking about in the text is you know, we evaluate, we judge people, and we see, but we don't see their, we see their sin, but not our own. David was Nathan, right? Got the right name, right? I almost said Nathaniel. Nathan's telling David a story about how this guy mistreated and abused this poor man and their family. And then David says in verse 7 of 2 Samuel 12, he says, oh man, you know, God should get them. They should die. He should get them. And then Nathan says, hey, David, it's you that the story's about. Here's David doing these things in this world, sinning in life, doing sin against somebody else, harshly treating people. And then somebody tells a story about what that looks like. And David's like, whoa, God should kill him. And then Nathan goes, that's you, David. See, because the tendency of humanity is to think that God judges according to what I see. Am I true? And that those people are sinners, and those people are that, and those people need the Lord, and those people are that, but I'm kind of good. That was the Jewish people's problem. They were moralists. They thought they were better than that. You see, God's judgment is according to the truth, not mine, not yours, his. And he says in Romans 2:1 that you pass judgment, you condemn others, you practice the same thing, and look at what it says. Beginning of verse 1. And you have no excuse. Just what he told the other people that had rejected God and that had reasoned in their own mind to make up their own stuff and come up with their new religion and not honor God. He said, and you're left with no excuse because God made it evident to you. And then now he's telling another group of people that have some influence in their life, have some values, have some morality, have some goodness, the Jewish people, have some truths of God. And he says, and you are without excuse. See, because nobody's excused from our sin. Because, see, God judges according to truth. And we're all sinners. Well, you know that. Romans 3:23 says what? For all have, come on, church, for all have sinned. That didn't leave any room for nobody. Didn't leave any room for, oh, except, you know, the ones that are tall that live in Porterville. And it didn't leave any room for that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul continues in this principle. Look at verse 2 and 3, what he says. He says, and we know that the judgment of God falls rightly upon those who practice such things, but do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and you do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? So we all own up. We know the judgment of God, church family. What is the judgment of God? The wages of sin is? We know it. The world knows it. Humanity knows it. God made it evident to them that God doesn't hate sin. He's the creator. God is at work here. It's like what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 98, 7 through 9. He wrote this, let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and all that dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity or equality or equalness. Sin, whatever depth, will be judged. Because it's according to righteousness. And do you have any unrighteousness in you? Raise your hand if you have just some. And he will come and judge it. It's hatred of sin. And the wages of sin is death. It rightly falls on those who sin, whether a lot in depravity or a little in self-righteousness. Because he judges according to the truth. Paul says, do you think you will escape? Do you think God judges by you're better than someone else? Do you think your sin isn't as visible as it is according to you? You know, Jesus said to the religious elite in Jesus' day that they would say, oh, we appear holy. Jesus said to them in Matthew 23, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you appear beautiful, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. And then he said this, outwardly, you appear righteous to men, but inwardly, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's all men living in their own righteousness. It doesn't matter that it appears good. That's what we're getting to. It doesn't matter that it appears good. It doesn't matter that it appears moral. It doesn't matter. God knows everything, and God knows that nobody is righteous on their own. It doesn't matter if it looks righteous, because God's judgment is according to the truth. And that's what he's just simply wanting to say. First of all, God is revealing his wrath against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, a man who suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. But then there's another group that have somewhat God's principles in their life, somewhat God's truths. They're moral. They're good. They're different. They're not been given over to depravity. And God says God's righteous wrath is going to be revealed against heaven to them too, because it isn't about good. He says something very interesting in verse 4. Look at it with me. It's very intriguing. Kind of got into this. Pastor Tom talked about it this morning in opening up the service. Look what he said in verse 4. Very intriguing. He says this, after he said that, therefore, what I've said before, you pass judgment, you who pass judgment, you practice the same, you're without excuse, you know the judgment of God. Do you think you'll escape it? We know we won't, but some people think they will. And then he says this, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing the kindness of God leads you to repentance? What an interesting thing to say. The group of people Paul is writing about haven't rejected God's revelation. They acknowledge God in their lives, or that God exists. There's less immorality going on in their life. Let me just kind of put it how it really applies. They're like they've been raised in the church or committed to coming to church. They haven't been given over to depravity. They acknowledge right and wrong. They acknowledge that God has a way and doesn't have a way, you know, and has a wrong and a right way. God is talked about in their circle, but they don't oppose it. There's an influence of God's principles. The fullness of sin's depravity is not experienced. They're good people. They don't outwardly sin, not much destruction of sin. And he says, do you despise or think lightly of the kindness of God? And the tolerance of God and the forbearance of God and the patience of God that leads you to repentance? In other words, this is what he's saying. In God's kindness to you, in his tolerance of your sin, and his patience in not giving you the full consequences of your sin, he's just and righteous to give the full wrath. We looked at that before. But because of his grace, he doesn't give it to you. Do you see that as a reason for you to repent? Do you see the goodness of God in your life as a fact that you should repent, but you think lightly of his grace, so lightly of his grace that you don't even turn from sin? This should really speak to our hearts. Let me give you an illustration. Will you help me? You guys help me with an illustration? Because it involves you. And we'll just illustrate what he's saying here. Let me ask you a question. Do you sin? Everybody agree with you do? Did you sin today? Diana, you're too excited about owning up to that. Yes, I did too. Wrong attitude, wrong thought, those kind of things. It's not what God wants in my life. We're forgiven in Christ. Amen? Paid for the penalty of it. I cannot suffer the punishment of my sin because Christ took it all. But he's not talking about that yet, right? You guys get that. He's just talking about humanity, right? Do you sin? Yes, you do. Did you sin today? Does the Bible teach you, you guys help me, in God's hatred of sin, sin's consequences and God's judgment on sin could come right now. Does it teach that? Immediately. Does it teach that? Come on, you guys. Does the Bible teach sin has consequences and it could be immediately? Does it teach that sin has consequences of judgment and it could come immediately, right? Could God give you over to something right now? Get out of the way. Remember we looked at it last week? Just get out of the way. Let you let your depravity run down your life. Could he do that? That he doesn't. Do you say that as the kindness of God? Do you see that as a kindness and a gentleness and a forbearance and a patience and a tolerance that God has for you and your sin? leading you to, Lord, help me turn and go a different way. Because you're so kind not to give me the consequences of it now. That's what he's teaching. We don't often think of it that way, but that's what he's teaching. The only reason why anybody has an opportunity for Christ is because the kindness and tolerance and forbearance and patience of God. If you wanted to not be patient anymore, it's done, right? Nobody has an opportunity to come to Christ. Am I saying what's true? Certainly I'm preaching what's true. That's an absolute truth. God doesn't have to wait one more second. Nothing in the Word of God, nothing in here says he has to. Nothing makes him. This is all his grace, his kindness, his forbearance of you. If I wrote it down this way, if I got my consequences immediately, I think I would repent kind of quicker. Immediate consequences, repent. Let me tell you that your life is good and you and your family are not like other family, pagan families, good people, moral people. Only reason is the kindness and tolerance and patience of God. The reason only America has some values that it has is the kindness, the tolerance, the patience of God. Because he judges according to the truth. If you understand that, if you grab hold of what he's saying, it should lead you to repent, to turn from sin, to turn to God, to embrace Christ. It should lead you there. Now, let me just take a moment here. Raise your hand if you're under 25. 25 and under. Okay, so I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you less than 25-year-olds not raising your hand. So I'm going to give you one opportunity here, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to pinch you if you do not raise your hand. So here is a challenge, because then everybody's going to watch me come over to you and know that you were obstinate and not raising your hand. If you're 25 or under, raise your hand. Isn't it amazing? They all raised their hand. Sin's consequences, repented of immediately with they're going to be verbal. Okay. Young people, listen to me. I want you to listen to me, okay? That your life is in the place that your life is in. That you have parents that have been trying to follow the Lord. That you have a family that wants to honor God, that has morality, that doesn't let sin run amok, that has some truth, that has God's word, that they are doing those things in your life, in your realm. Come on, you guys, listen to me. That's happening in your life isn't anything other than the kindness of God. It's not anything other than the kindness of God. Because the kindness of God led your parents to repent and to believe in the Lord and leads them to repent and turn away from their sin and ask forgiveness from you and from each other and to try to live the way God wants them to live, to work toward that. See, it's the kindness of God that led them to that. So the life that you have, whatever it is, all that goodness, all that kindness, all that's not so horrible, like, wow, look out into the world, is only based upon God's kindness, not your goodness. I want you to get that. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You have no right to have it, and God's wrath could come upon it. But God's kindness had it be in your life this way. Who's been given much? Much is required. When you've been given a life of morality and love and care from the goodness of God in a family you have, much more is required. Don't ever let it come into your heart that now you think you were born better than others. Because unless you repent and embrace Christ and trust in him, he can give you over to your depravity today. Because it comes from heaven. It doesn't come from your goodness or because every one of us deserve it because God judges according to the, and everyone deserves it. See how that lines up when we're going to understand the righteousness of God? He's the only one that's righteous. And in his righteousness, all of us deserve hell. Pretty simple. And when we don't see it clearly in our eyes, in our heart, and who we are apart from Christ, we get the righteousness of God in an owing kind of way. And he owes us ones that are somehow not given over to the flesh as much as others. And God says, I just judge according to the truth, and you're a sinner. Whether it's a little in your eyes, or you look at it and it's total depravity in man. I just judge according to the truth. And unless you repent and embrace Christ, I'm going to reject you. That's how that is. That's why he concludes with verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation or revealing of the righteous judgment of God. These are people that aren't living terrific, horrific lives that he's talking to. There's some morality there. There's some right and wrong understood there. There's some goodness there. There's being nice. There's being caring. There's being good. These are the hardest people to reach in your life because there's some instinct, there's something in their heart that they think God is judging their goodness and that he's going to evaluate, and I'm kind of good. This is me before I came to the Lord. And God will see that, and somehow that's going to be valued at the end of this and what God wants us to understand. I judge according to the truth. I don't judge according to better than others. Goodness, truth, sinner in need of salvation. My kindness toward you was to get you to repent, to embrace Christ, to come to me and receive my forgiveness. That's all it was. And whoever doesn't is storing up wrath for the day of wrath. Whether you lived a good life or not. Because it's not based on that. So Paul, the next thing that he got to was his wrath will be revealed against that. Psalm 7:12. If a man does not repent, he will, meaning God will, sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow, and he has made it ready. That's just God's word, God's truth. So anyone here today that haven't embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, today's the day of salvation. If you haven't trusted in him for your salvation, for him to pay the penalty of your sin, God's not going to evaluate you whether you did good or bad comparative in this world. He's not going to look at it that way. He's going to see sin, and he's going to judge the sin, and it's eternal damnation, or he's going to see Savior. And he's already judged the sin in the Savior, and he said, I've already judged him and paid the penalty of eternal damnation on the Savior, and that's all he's going to see because it's by truth, and that's the only truth that matters. And if you haven't trusted in Christ, you will be judged according to your sin. That's the truth. He's not going to evaluate. We'll all bend our knee before the Lord and to say, well, I lived kind of good. But you remember Pastor Ken, and he preached, and he told you that God doesn't evaluate good or bad. Forgiven of your sin, or you pay the penalty of your sin. Don't despise the kindness of the Lord. Don't despise it. And we're going to close with a song today. And we're going to sing the song at the end of each service as we go through Christmas here. This Josh is going to work on it. We're going to sing it together. Would you stand with me? And before we pray, I want us to sing this song that we're going to sing at the end of each service up all the way through Christmas. We'll close the service with that all the way through Christmas Eve. The song is called It's About the Cross. And then after the song, sing with me, we will pray.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds on the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross, it's about my sin,
It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. Just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood.
Pray together. Heavenly Father, we are here today acknowledging from the truth of your word, Lord, that that it's your righteousness that means everything, that you are the one judging everything according to the truth, according to your truth. That's why Christ came, because according to that, all of us will be judged. And so your Son came to live the sinless life and gave His life on the cross to be born, to be raised to new life so we could be forgiven and saved and given new life. So the truth of the good news of the cross, or of the birth of Christ, is the cross. So as we go into this Christmas season in December and all of this time, that where we have family around and celebrate so many things, let's be grateful and thankful for the gift of grace for our sins to be paid for through our Savior. Help us to be thankful and grateful through this time to reach out to those in our life, to not be judgmental or condemning, but to be giving recognition that the gospel and the power of it is what rescues lives. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for today.